Good morning. Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church this morning. It is good that we are all together. I'm so glad to see all of you here. And if you're watching online, well, it's good to know that you're with us too. It is good for us to be together as we continue this season after the Epiphany, where we celebrate all of the ways in which God's love is made manifest to us all. So I'm glad that you're here. There are Sunday school bags in the back, so if there are children here, if there will be children visiting the house, you know, maybe they'd want to do something other than watch a football game later on today, and so we have a Sunday school bag where they can learn all of the ways in which God loves them very much, so please remember that. There are lots of other announcements in your bulletin, and I hope that you have a chance to read through them. But we've gathered this morning to be in worship, to add our voices to those of Christians across time and space, giving praise to God. So let us begin then that worship by joining together in our gathering song, Love the Lord. Let us rise and sing together. Let us pray. Living God, in Christ you make all things new. Transform the poverty of our nature by the riches of your grace. And in the renewal of our lives, make known your glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
First lesson is from Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 10. Thus says the Lord, cursed are those who trust in mere mortals, and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord. They shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when relief comes. They shall live in parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by the water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of the drought it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is devious above all else. It is perverse. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, test the mind and search the heart to give to all according to their ways, according to the fruit of their doings. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 20. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain. And your faith has been in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testify of God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who have died in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. The word of the Lord.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke in the 6th chapter. Jesus came down with the 12 and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophet." The Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, on any given morning during the school year, about 6 o'clock in the morning, somewhere in the early 1980s, I was asleep in bed and my dad was at the top of the stairs trying to wake me up. It always started, you know, soft and gentle, time to get up, Steve, kind of thing. It would increase in volume as the time went on until, of course, I heard my father's boots start walking down the stairs. Now, truth be told, maybe I didn't hear that first gentle attempt to wake me up. I know that I ignored many of those as they were getting louder and louder, but there was no ignoring when the boots started walking down the stairs. I was awake, I was out of bed, and I was heading towards the shower before those boots got to the bottom of the stairs. Which do we hear? Do we hear the nice, the gentle, the intelligent argument that is made to persuade us, the kind invitation that leads us to greatness? Or do we only hear the loud, the rough, the angry, the threat that chills us to the core? Now, in a way, it all depends on what the topic is. But in Scripture, the prophets have a job, and that job is to comfort the afflicted with a message of hope and grace from God. And at the same time, they are called to afflict the comfortable with a message that asks them to change their ways so that God's love can flow. Which do we hear? From Jeremiah today, we hear that prophet's message of both comfort and affliction. And I know that personally, I hear the comfort first always, right? Blessed are those who trust in the Lord. And since I trust in the Lord, then I am blessed. That's the way it goes, right? But maybe, just maybe, I need to hear that curse, the message of affliction as well. Because how often do we trust in mere mortals? How often do we look to man-made institutions, organizations, leaders, and others for our stability? It doesn't matter your politics or your passions. Go Bengals. We all do it for a time at a time. And Jeremiah is warning us that if we do that, if we put our trust in mere mortals, then we are stepping right into a curse. And we step into it ourselves. Which is why Jeremiah speaks so eloquently of the blessing. For those who trust in the Lord, we become as trees planted by streams of God's love flowing to us, flowing through us to the world. I would rather be that than a withering shrub in the desert sun. But am I listening to the message that I need? Which do we hear? How quickly do we hear it? Today, Jesus is also using his prophetic voice as he teaches the crowd there on that level place. The crowds have come to see Jesus. They have come to hear him and be healed by him. They have come for knowledge and to watch as unclean spirits are sent away. They've come for health and for safety. And this crowd that has come to see Jesus is filled with people that the world around them would have called failures and who their culture believes that God is punishing them. And yet they came to see Jesus. That crowd was also included those who were merely curious. They were the comfortable and the healthy. They had enough and no one that they knew were ill, but they were there to see what Jesus was doing. They were there to look down their nose at the rabble who had gathered and thought that they were worthy of God's attention. They came to see Jesus and then to judge what was happening. And into that mix, Jesus began to teach. And he spoke a blessing for those who were poor and hungry, those mourning and weeping, as well as those who were persecuted in life. Now, in the eyes of the world, the people Jesus was talking about were about as far from blessing as you could get. To be poor and hungry meant that God was punishing you for something to so many people. Jesus was teaching all of those people that these things happen, and God's love and God's presence are still with us even as they happen. Hunger and hatred are not a curse. Unfortunately, they're life. Persecution and poverty are not proof of God's displeasure. They are proof that things happen in this world that try to drive us away from God's love. Grief and mourning are not punishment from God. Rather, that's our love trying to discover a new way to connect. But Jesus promises that any of those things, that they are not the be-all and end-all to life. There is hope. Jesus says you will be filled. You will laugh. You are part of God's kingdom always. Because God doesn't choose a select few. God's love is for all. And that love is even for those comfortable ones who came to judge everyone else. Jesus speaks words of caution to them. He speaks words of caution in love. From the extravagant grace of God, Jesus does not curse or speak of curses. Jeremiah said, "Cursed are those who don't," and reminds us that we step into that curse on our own. But Jesus speaks, "Woe." That is, be careful. That is, watch out. These are words of warning from Jesus. He says, "Woe to you who are rich or full or laughing." He's saying, be careful that you don't think that any of that is because you are more special than someone else, or that somehow or another you have earned it or deserve it. Jesus is trying to turn those who are comfortable from judgment to compassion, from condemnation to love for neighbors. Jesus lets all of them and then all of us know that good times and bad times are part of living and of life. No one is more blessed or less blessed. God is with us all. God is with us all the time. God is with us to try and help us shine. Do we recognize that presence? You see, all of the blessings in our lives, all of the gifts that God gives to us are meant to be shared. Jesus isn't against wealth, but rather he's against those who refuse to use their wealth to help others, whatever that wealth may be. Jesus is teaching us today that if we have, we get to share. Jesus is also teaching us that if we need, God is with us. Which do we hear? Do we only hear the comfort and assurance meant for those who are poor and hungry? Do we ever hear the warnings, the cautions for those of us who have enough? Both messages are for us, for we are both afflicted, and comfortable. And Jesus loves us enough that he wants us to hear both. I've shared this story a couple of times with other people, but a number of years ago, a pastor friend of mine took a group of members from his congregation to Mexico on a mission trip. And they were in a very, very poor village helping with repairing roofs and porches, with digging trenches for septic systems. They were doing all kinds of things for these people. And on Sunday, they went to the little Roman Catholic church, the only one in the village. And they sat through the service, and at collection time, it was collection time. And before the end of the service, the ushers ran up and whispered into the priest's ear. And the priest was very excited, and he said to the people, "I have good news to share. We have enough money in our collection today that we can help the poor." My friend said that he'd never seen a more poor village or church or anything like that, and they were so excited that they were going to be able to help the poor. You see, that church had heard all of Jesus' message. They knew that they were blessed in their poverty and that they were blessed when they had enough. They were meek when they were poor and bold to share when they had enough, steering away from any of those warnings from Jesus. May we all hear the messages of God's love in Jesus Christ, the message that inspires us to faith in the face of adversity, and the message that inspires generosity and love for neighbor. Both stand for us as a means for our faith to grow and for us to bear great fruit with Christ by our side. Let us always follow Jesus into the world, making God's vision our mission. Amen. Please rise. In celebration of our baptism, let us confess together our faith using the words we find in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again, he ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord is poured upon us in abundance, so we are bold to pray for the church, the world, and all that God has made. Blessed are those who trust in you. Strengthen the faith of those who profess your name and bring reassurance to those who doubt or fear. Through your church, speak continued blessing into the world. Lord, in your mercy. Those who trust in you are like trees planted by streams of water. Bless fruit trees with an abundant harvest. Protect rainforests from destruction. Restore land that has eroded after deforestation. Resurrect woodlands after forest fires. Lord, in your mercy, search the hearts of those who govern, that they lead with humility. Inspire leaders to collaborate on policies that protect people and the planet. Sustain truth-tellers and social movements that challenge society to become more honest and just. Lord, in your mercy, send your blessings of mercy upon those who long for consolation. Tend to those struggling with poverty, unemployment, or uncertainty. Provide for all who are hungry. Console those who face persecution. Grant peace to all who suffer. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we also pray for those who need your healing presence. Bless all who suffer illness and disease, who struggle with injury and accident. We pray especially for Jack, Chris, David, Jean, and Gary. May the healing presence of Christ rest upon them and all. Lord, in your mercy. Renew this congregation in our shared mission. As we plan and dream for the future you are preparing, inspire us by the examples of Martin Luther and all the reformers. Bless new projects and new ministry partnerships. Lord, in your mercy. Christ is raised from the dead, and so we cling to the hope of the resurrection. We praise you for the lives of the saints who lived and died in the hope of eternal life with you. Lord, in your mercy. Since we have such great hope in your promises, O God, we lift these and all our prayers to you in confidence and faith through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son, and in the miracle of water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. We give you thanks, Father, through Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, whom you sent in this end of the ages to save and redeem us and to proclaim to us your will. He is your word, inseparable from you, through whom you created all things and in whom you take delight. He is your word sent from heaven to a virgin's womb. He there took on our nature and our lot and was shown forth as your Son, born of the Holy Spirit and of the Virgin Mary. He, our Lord Jesus, fulfilled all your will and won for you a holy people. He stretched out his hands in suffering in order to free from suffering those who trust you. He is the one who handed over to a death he freely accepted in order to destroy death, to break the bonds of the evil one, to crush hell underfoot, to give light to the righteous, to establish his covenant and show forth the resurrection, taking bread and giving thanks to you, said, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering then his death and resurrection, we take this bread and cup, giving thanks to you that you have made us worthy to stand before you and serve you as your priestly people. Send your Spirit upon these gifts of your church. Gather into one all who share this bread and wine. Fill us with your Holy Spirit to establish our faith in truth, that we may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ, through whom all glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your Holy Church, both now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now, please come to God's table, where there is always room for you, and there is always enough for all.
In chains, though that a hold on me. My heart was a stone, I was covered in shame when he came for me. I couldn't run from his presence. I couldn't run from his arms. When he calls my name, I
Please rise. As the body and blood of our Lord Jesus fills us with strength, we are also sent out in love and service. And so together we pray, Most High God, you have come among us at this table. By the Spirit's power, form us to be bearers of your word, sharing gifts of mercy and grace with all. Through Christ Jesus, our host and our guest. Amen. And now, may the Lord grant that we may see what needs to be seen and do what needs to be done. May the Lord bless and protect you all. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you all with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you're watching football this evening, have fun. Please stay warm, stay dry, stay safe. As you go into the world with hope,
may God's vision our mission.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
Living water.